So I want to just begin by encouraging those of you who have children and grandchildren. You just got a recommendation for a really great resource. This season, there are lots of fun things out there. I get it. And I know parents want to do, and I know grandparents want to do fun things with their kids. And this is definitely the time of year for it. But listen, there are really great alternatives that are just as much fun that actually build up the faith of your children. And so in the midst of doing all the fun things that we do this time of year, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that the faith of our children matters. So I really encourage you, go on Amazon. You can find those in Mardell Christian bookstores. You can find them online if you shop Christian book distributors, other places like that. Resources like that are available for your children. It's a small investment. Listen, parents will go out and they'll buy an Elf on the Shelf all day long. But listen, when you buy something that is not only fun, but it builds up the faith of your children, that's a true investment. And please invest in building up and edifying your children and building up their faith this Christmas season. Christmas can bring people together like no other season. Some of my favorite memories of Christmas past have nothing to do with presents, nothing to do with decorations. They're the memories of time spent with the people that God has allowed to grace my life. Throughout the Advent season, we're going to revisit the Gospels to go back to that first Christmas and rediscover all the wonderful ways the incarnation of Christ brought people together. In fact, if you don't get anything else I say today beyond the reading of God's Word, I want you to get this. The first announcement of Christ's imminent birth brought cousins Elizabeth and Mary together to support each other through unexpected and miraculous pregnancies. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever dreaded going to a family celebration? In particular, a Christmas celebration. I can see some of you, your expressions tell the whole story, okay? If you've ever, listen, I get it. I've been there too. Just dreading going to a family celebration. You know, maybe it's the pushy aunt, you know, with all the uncomfortable questions. Or maybe it's that one uncle, and you know the one. I had one too, so I feel you. Perhaps it's the long list of topics that everyone tiptoes around so as not to upset Grandma. My goodness, we wouldn't want to raise her blood pressure on Christmas, right? It can be tempting to isolate ourselves during the holidays. It can be tempting to check out, especially when we're walking through a difficult season. After all, Christmas is not joy for everyone. For many, it is a hard and difficult season. You might say to yourself, well, who needs the additional stress anyway? Am I right? So you're just tempted to stay in, to isolate yourself. Who needs it? I don't need the stress anyway. Well, stressful holiday gatherings are hardly a new thing, folks. In fact, the announcement of Christ's series of events that ultimately lead to Mary, a Jewish teenager who is betrothed to Joseph, to travel from her home in Nazareth for a visit with her cousin Elizabeth. It was not an easy journey. It was a stressful time. It was a difficult time. But the connection that they experience turns out to be an unexpected joy for the both of them. A moment in their lives filled with incredible uncertainty. And so I'd like to invite you to turn now in your Bible or to open your Bible app to Luke chapter 1. That's where we'll be studying from today. There is no doubt that we could spend our entire lives searching through the great literature of the world and never find anything so beautiful as that of the birth of Christ. Especially remarkable and stirring is that this story, well, it's entirely true. It is fixed in our history with actual people and actual places. In fact, it's so significant that this singular event divides history into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. This story begins with the Annunciation, which itself is a beautiful story of wonder, firmly rooted in the simplicity of human life. Now, before we read today's passage, let's reverence God's Word and receive it with prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for your Word. Your Word is every syllable. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And so, Lord, we pray your blessings upon the hearing of your Word, that it would find today fertile soil in our hearts, that it would take root, that it would grow fruit, that it would bring honor and glory to the name above all other names, the name of Jesus. Do a work in us today and remind us that hope lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 26. Okay? Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 26. The Gospel writer says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a woman betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Verse 39. "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Well, Luke tells us in verse 26 that Elizabeth, who is the wife of a priest named Zechariah, is 6 months pregnant. Now, the preceding verses are the backstory. And they tell us a little bit about Elizabeth. She is barren. In other words, she hasn't been able to have children. Now, we don't know how old she is when she becomes pregnant. And there's plenty of speculation, plenty of theories. But the truth is, we don't really know how old she is when she becomes pregnant. But we do know that both she and Zechariah are, quote, unquote, advanced in years. When the angel Gabriel visits them with the news that God has performed this miracle. She is expecting a son, John. We know him as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, who will be the fulfillment of prophecy and the forerunner of Jesus. The forerunner of the Messiah. Now, this bit of backstory is really important for several reasons, none of the least of which is the relationship that exists between Elizabeth and this young virgin Mary. They are cousins. I want you to go to verse 30. Verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And it's easy to forget what a frightening thing this was for a girl of 12 or at the oldest 13. And I know to our modern Western senses that seems really strange, but I want you to understand that 12, 13 years old was not an uncommon thing for a young woman to be expecting her first child at that age. I know now we very much can. Some of you guys are looking at your children. I've got a 21-year-old sitting over here, and I'm still going, you know. Dorinda and I were reminding ourselves the other day that Dorinda was actually her age when we got married. Ay, ay, ay. And so, so we think about our kiddos. You know, I'm looking over here at Danny, Danielle, who just turned double digits today. You know, just think, Mom. Just think that in the first century, she would be a couple of years away from making you a grandma. She said, But yes, indeed. Mary was 12. At the oldest, she was 13. Typically, in the first century, between 12 and 12 and a half is when a young woman was betrothed to her husband. I hate to say it, but for practical reasons, it was necessary. It was necessary for the welfare of the family to get those young girls married off. Okay. And so there's a very practical reason for this. And so here is this young virgin Mary. And the angel comes to her and he says, "Do not be afraid." This was a frightening thing for this young girl. Verse 29. However, she says, verse 29, however, says that she was greatly troubled. This frightened her. This troubled her. This caused her some anxiety. Although I think we can all agree that her response to Gabriel's announcement in verse 38 is in every way remarkable, it should be equally understood that for Mary, and for that matter Elizabeth, this thing that God is doing in their lives isn't lacking in serious complexity and difficulty. Now, I know some of you right now are praying for God to bless you. But I want to just tell you to get ready, because if you want God to bless you, The blessings of God, listen, you don't get an anxiety free card. The blessings of God, there will not be lollipops and rainbows and unicorns. If you want the blessings of God, they come with complexities. They come with difficulties. They come with anxieties. Those are the blessings of God. This thing that God is doing for both of these women, think about this for a moment. Think about the ramifications of what this means for Elizabeth. She is a woman advanced in years. Now, it was understood in the first century that the older that you got, the more complex the pregnancy was. Ergo, the more likely that you were to not survive childbirth. And so there's the very real possibility that this baby that God's blessed her with could be the death of her. And let's just not forget that this wasn't a grandchild that they could feed chocolate to and send home to mom and dad. Here they are, advanced in years, in the golden years of their lives, and now they're given this tremendous responsibility to raise a child. Not just any child, a child who by every account was going to be very special. Imagine that kind of stress. For Mary, I think we all understand what this means for Mary. It means scandal. It very well could mean her death. You see, a young woman who's betrothed to a man who gets pregnant out of wedlock is inviting on her. I know it's no big deal today, but in the first century, it was punishable by death. And so, this thing that God is doing in their lives is not lacking in serious complexity and difficulty. Both women will have to face their fears and wrestle with their uncertainties. But I want you to get this today. Shared experiences can help to overcome fear and uncertainty. Shared experiences can help to overcome fear and uncertainty. In verse 34, there's an interesting exchange that takes place between Mary and Gabriel. Verse 34 says this. Take a look. Look at your Bible. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, I want to pause there for a second because most scholars agree that Luke collected the accounts that are included in his gospel from first-hand sources. All right? First-hand sources. Why is that important? It's because this isn't a story of hearsay. It's more than likely, that Luke collected this particular account from Mary herself. Because what we know of Luke's gospel is that he collected the accounts that are included in his gospel. He cataloged them. Listen to me. He cataloged them. He arranged them in chronological order. He tossed out the things that he couldn't verify by first-hand sources. And that's what you have in front of you, the Gospel of Luke. And so this wasn't somebody saying that Mary was a virgin. More than likely, this is Mary saying, "I was a virgin." I also want to point out that the word translated virgin, listen to me, does not mean young. It does not mean unwed. It quite literally means that she has not had any sexual relations with any kind of man. No sex of any kind. You say, Pastor, why are you so adamant about that? Because those who are teaching otherwise are teaching nothing short of heresy. And there are a lot of teachers out there today that are trying to redefine these words. And they really need to go back to school and take first semester Greek over again, because they clearly didn't learn anything. This word, it literally means that she has not had sexual relations of any kind with a man. But I want you to understand. I say all this because I want you to understand that this was just as remarkable a set of circumstances then as it would be now, and even more so. It is a miraculous conception. There is no human explanation for how a girl of 12, 12 and a half, who has never had sexual relationship with a man, ends up pregnant. It's miraculous. It's nothing short of miraculous. And you get the sense here that Mary is struggling to figure this out. How is this possible? She asked the angel. I want you to get this. This wasn't a question that demonstrates a lack of faith. It's simply that she's just trying to wrap her mind around what this is that's happening to her. I don't know about you, but I've had moments in my life where I've found myself trying to wrap my brain around what God is doing in my life. And if you've not had a moment like that in your life, it's because you're not paying attention. Because when God does something in your life, it's gonna usually defy your understanding and your logic. It's gonna defy your ability to explain. So she's struggling to figure this out, and the angel Gabriel isn't without answers. Verse 35 says, "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold,' he says, 'your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.'" I want you to notice that Gabriel gives her, first of all, a theological answer. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's a theological answer. Most of the questions that we have in life have theological answers. Strike that. All of the questions that we have in life have theological answers. But he also gives her an empirical proof. In essence, God is saying, I want you to get this, God is saying to her, "Mary, God's got this. Mary, God's got you." But he's also saying to her, and this is so important, in verse 36 he says, "By the way, you're not entirely alone. You're not entirely alone." I love that. I love that. What godly counsel this is. To be able to look at her and say, "Mary, God's got this. And you're not alone." I want you to know something today. Whatever you may be facing in your life, whatever struggles you have, whatever complexities this season brings to you, to your home, to your life, whatever season of life you're in, you may be young today and you may be struggling. Oh man, just a few more weeks until the end of school year or the end of the semester, and then I get a winter break. Hannah's going, woo, woo. It may be, listen, it may be boyfriend problems or girlfriend problems, or maybe you're a young adult and you're trying to figure out how to establish yourself you're trying to do the adulting thing, right? Some of you are going like me, I'm in my 50s. I'm still trying to figure out this adulting thing. And some days I got to be honest with you, I don't like doing it. Maybe you are in your 50s, slowing down, not as young as you used to be. Thought life would get a little easier as you got a little older. Well, maybe you're looking at me going, yeah, Pastor Mike, you're just a young guy. Wait till you get to be 70. Wait till you get to be 80. Wise friend said to me one time, getting old is not for wimps. He should know, he was 93. Getting old is not for wimps. Well, I want you to know something today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what life's throwing at you, no matter what's going on, God's got you. And you're not alone. You are not alone. What comforting and powerful counsel. And by the way, Mary takes the hint. What's the hint? Go to verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judea, verse 40, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. What was it that Gabriel said to her? He says, oh, by the way, the you're not alone part, your relative Elizabeth is also pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant, in fact. And so Mary said, light bulb goes off, and Mary takes the hint. That's a hint. That's a hint, and Mary takes the hint. So what does she do? Immediately, it says with haste. You know, in my mind, I kind of see it. You know, the angel like disappears from her little room where she's at, and man, she goes over and grabs a suitcase and starts packing furiously. I gotta go see what this is all about. She goes with haste. It would have been so easy for Mary to withdraw, for her to isolate herself. I know that's what a lot of us do these days. You know, we isolate ourselves, we withdraw. We get a little stressful news, we just withdraw from people. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it. If I'm around people, I've got to deal with it. I'm just going to stay here and I'm just going to deal with it on my own. I'm going to stay away from people. I don't want to do people today. And as an introvert, I want to tell you, I get you. I really do. I get you. It would have been really easy for her to withdraw, for her to isolate herself. Man, she could have said to herself, no one could possibly know what I'm going through. No one can understand. And by the way, she's about the only person ever on the planet Earth who had the right to say something like that. I've not run into a lot of women who can understand what it's like to be a virgin and wind up pregnant. It would have been really easy for her to go, nobody will understand. Nobody could possibly know what I'm going through. I'm just going to sit here in the corner and I'm just going to wait this thing out and maybe it'll go away. She could have made excuses. She could have made excuses for not going. For not going to Judah, to the hill country. After all, the journey from Nazareth to the Judean hill country would have taken 3 to 4 days on foot. 3 to 4 days on foot. I got to tell you, sometimes for me to get in the car and drive for 3 or 4 hours, I mean... Do I really have to do this? This was a 3 to 4 day journey. She could have said, you know what? I'm just going to take his word for it that Elizabeth's pregnant, and God bless her, mazel tov. But I'm just going to hang out here. But she didn't. She didn't. It was going to be a hard trip, but you know what? She did it. She could have said to herself, well, it's going to kind of be awkward. You know why? Because, listen, it's likely that Mary and Elizabeth probably haven't seen each other for a long time. A year, maybe more. After all, in our world, they lived close, but in their world, they were worlds apart. And besides all of that, there is a significant age gap between these two women. 40 years or more. Elizabeth is an old woman. And Mary, a teenage girl. We forget that, by the way, when we watch those Hollywood renderings of the Christmas story. Because usually in those, Elizabeth's not really kind of that old, and Mary's really not kind of that young. We forget the significant difference in age between these two women. It was significant. But I want to tell you, it was a blessing. In the digest for the Association of Psychological Sciences, psychologist Brock Bastian writes, and you might recognize his name, he's got some pretty famous TED Talks out there. Brock Bastian writes, quote, "Sharing a common struggle, pain, or experience with someone creates a strong bond and can boost cooperation with that individual," end quote. As Mary and Elizabeth are about to find out, this wonderful outcome doesn't care how far apart they live, how long it's been since they've last seen each other, or how different in age or experience they are. They are going to share this experience together. Now, one commentator said that Scripture is unclear why Mary decided to visit her cousin, but I tell you today, it couldn't have been clearer. Not only does Elizabeth's unexpected and miraculous pregnancy provide Mary with confirmation that she has experienced something in the presence of Gabriel, that it was in fact real, that it was in fact true, despite the generation gap, Elizabeth is the one person on the planet who can share Mary's fear or her joy. She's the one person who could possibly understand what she's experiencing. They both have experienced miraculous pregnancies. I love the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, which says this, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Ancient wisdom, and it means simply this, we're better together. We are better together. I'm going to say that again. We are better together. There is power and encouragement in together. Always together. We know from later in the story that Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. Month 6 to month 9 of Elizabeth's pregnancy. During that time, I'm sure that Mary found encouragement through their shared natural and unnatural experiences. I'm certain that Mary was able to learn through Elizabeth's journey. She likely gleaned wisdom while helping Elizabeth through the third trimester of pregnancy. She no doubt sought advice from her elder cousin about how to have that most delicate of conversations with her family and with her betrothed. Do you get me today? This young teenage girl got to glean from the wisdom, the collected wisdom of a much older woman who was sharing the experience of miraculous pregnancy with her. It's beautiful. Similar to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Proverbs 17:17 says this, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." I want you to understand this. In the face of adversity, in the face of fears, in the face of uncertainty, it's important to have people in your life to turn to. It's important to have people in your life to turn to. People who you know you can count on. People who will get you. Who will encourage you and encourage your faith. I've got to be honest with you today. I purposely do not surround myself with negative Nancys. No offense to anybody named Nancy. I just don't hang around them. If you're whiny, if you're all the time just there's a reason I don't hang around. And it's this, I don't need that in my life. I want people around me who will encourage me. I want people around me, listen, who share the same goals that I have, who are going the same place I'm going, who know the same God I know. Do you get me today? I need people who, when I'm struggling, will look at me and, listen, not just thump a Bible in my face and say, get with the program. I'm talking about people who will lovingly speak the Word of God into my life. And you should want that too. You should want that too. We need people that we can turn to. You want to know why church? You want to know why we do church? Because you will face things in life that you will not be able to handle on your own. God will work in your life in ways that are simply too big for you to walk through on your own. And in those moments, listen, we need the church the most. We need the church the most. I encounter people, all kinds of people who are calling me in crisis. But they're not going to church. They're not connected to a church. But when all hell is broken loose in their life, they want the church. Well, listen, I want to say to you today, and I want to say to those of you who are watching this live stream, if you're not connected to a church, don't wait until all hell breaks loose in your life. Go to church now. And when all hell breaks loose in your life, because it will, you will be surrounded by people who will help you through it. You are not alone. Yeah, give Him praise. There's nothing like the reassurance that comes from someone who has been where you are. People who can speak godly wisdom into your life, who can pray with you, who can pray for you. I've said it before. Listen, one of our superpowers as a church is the collective wisdom of you men and women who are of a certain age. That is not a weakness. That is a strength. And let me tell you something. The collective church needs to get their act together. And here's why. Because we got churches out there that have more white-haired people than they have dark-haired people. And they say, oh, that's a bad thing. And it kind of is for certain reasons. But let me tell you something. Flip the script, it can be a really good thing. But here's what's got to change. You got to get away from the us for and no more mentality and realize that God has given you experience and wisdom and listen, and He's called you to share it. He has called you to share it. It can be easy to think that you're too old to be useful. That's nonsense. The truth is, you finally grow old enough to be invaluable. It's all in how you look at it. So I say to all of you today who are here of a certain age, congratulations! You have finally grown old enough to be invaluable. So please, make yourself useful by making yourself available. Because, listen, there are kids in this room who desperately need the treasure of your wisdom and experience. What a gift you have to give. What a gift you have to give. What did God do for Mary? He planted a seed. Go to Elizabeth. She's got everything you need to get through this, kid. I want everyone in this room who is under the age of 40 to look around. And I want you to look at everyone in this room who is over the age of 40. You are so blessed. You are so blessed. Because those people who are over the age of 40, they can help you through what you're going through. They really can. I had an elder person say to me one time, you know, I'm old, no one respects me. Well, first of all, I want to tell you that's not true. I also want you to know that, listen, if you try to share your experience with somebody and they don't show you respect, they don't listen, they don't pay attention, they disrespect you in some way, listen, Jesus has some really good advice for that. Kick the dust off your heels and go to the next person. Don't sit in the corner and cry about it. Don't say never again. Knock the dirt off your feet and keep going. Find somebody else to mentor. And by the way, you should be mentoring. That's exactly what Elizabeth was for Mary. And for Mary to know that she could share this experience with someone, especially someone from her own family, and to form this unique bond with her cousin would have been an incredibly special thing for her and for Elizabeth as well. I want to get through this because I'm just about out of time. Shared blessings can help provide hope and strength. Shared blessings can help provide hope and strength. The example of Mary and Elizabeth in the Christmas story should encourage us to surround ourselves in community, especially with our family of faith, to lean on each other when we face difficult circumstances. It may be scary. It may be scary to ask for help or to open up about our fears and our struggles. However, when we do, we find that it's these connections that spur us on in life. We make these connections and they spur us on in life. I love the treatment that the Message gives to its paraphrase of Hebrews 10:25, which says this: let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. There's hope and there is strength, and together, and Mary and Elizabeth show us both how and why. I want you to look at verse 41 quickly. Luke writes, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So finding Elizabeth pregnant, as the angel had said, was confirmation for Mary. But when Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb, this is the fulfillment of something that Gabriel, had told Zechariah. He told Zechariah that the baby would be, quote, filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, end quote. So now Elizabeth has her confirmation as well. And she too is filled with the Holy Spirit. Good verse 42. And she exclaimed with a loud cry. She says, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I want to pause there because I don't want you to miss this. I know I'm just about out of time, but I don't want you to miss this. There is something powerful that happens in a person's life when they receive a blessing from someone they love. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. This is going to change somebody's life right here and right now. There is a supernatural power, Holy Spirit anointed power. When a blessing is proclaimed over you by someone you love, and when you speak a blessing over someone you love, it has power that is beyond explanation. A father lays his hand on his child in a holy moment to bless them. There is nothing more sacred, nothing more effectual. It's powerful. And the truth of the matter is, we don't seize the moments to do this. To deliberately speak a blessing over our... You know something? The ancient Hebrews, well, for that matter, modern Jews do this so well. To this day, they will still lay their hands on their children and they will bless, they will speak blessings over them. And if you want to go back to the book of Genesis and you want to see just how effectual these blessings can be, I invite you to do it. Something powerful happens when we bless our children. When we bless, listen, husbands, when you lay your hands on your wife to bless her, I mean to speak the blessings of God into her spirit, something powerful happens. I've seen grandmothers bless their grandchildren, and there is this holy moment that happens, and it is powerful. And that's what's happening right here. When Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting and the baby leaps within her, she is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she blesses Mary. Blessed are you among women. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Indeed, the tongue that speaks blessing, hope, and healing is a tree of life. And Elizabeth's blessing is one of the most recognizable in the Bible. And she continues in verse 43. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that the Lord would, that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And we didn't read it, but the following verses are known as the Magnificat. The Magnificat. We sometimes call it Mary's Psalm. I want you to get this because Mary, listen, Mary not only had a journey from Nazareth to Judea. Oh, I don't want you to miss this. But she's gone on a spiritual journey as well. And you can see the power of Elizabeth's blessing as Mary goes from uncertainty, back in verse 29, to certainty. From reserved surrender in verse 38 to rejoicing and singing. Listen, she didn't get this from the angels. She got this because someone she loved and respected blessed her. That's why she got this. She got a song in her heart. Joy from the Lord. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. She went from being troubled to singing for joy, all because someone she loved blessed her. And when Elizabeth blessed her, it released in her life the power of God for the purposes of God. Church, the incarnation of Christ brought these cousins together. Christmas can still bring people together, where if we're intentional and spirit-minded, we can encourage each other, build one another up in the Lord. Is there someone in your family or in your circle of friends who's going through something that seems impossible? What would it look like? What would it look like for you to reach out to them this Christmas? To offer them a bit of encouragement? What if that person who is facing overwhelming challenges is you? What would it look like for you to take a chance? To reach out and ask someone to come alongside you and to help you through it? I'm not talking about someone giving you a handout. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having someone who can walk with you through it. Who can come alongside you and encourage you and remind you that you will make it. You're not alone. God's got this. You're not alone. So what have we learned today, and how can we apply it to experience the hope and joy of the Christmas season? Church, there is strength, support, and encouragement when we gather with close friends and family to share our common experiences and struggles. What a gift God has given us, the church. Finally today, I want to tell you about Kelsey Bonner, a high school student from Fort Myers, Florida, who was heartbroken when her Nana passed away last November 2022. The entire family was devastated, in fact, and when Kelsey learned that the family had decided to skip their annual week-long Christmas gathering that always happened at Nana's house, she decided she was going to do something about it. She secretly began inviting the family to her home, saying it was what Nana would have wanted. Now, while extended family booked hotels, Kelsey took money that she had saved. She hired a caterer so her mom didn't have to cook. She hired a maid service to get the house ready. Everything. She did everything. She finally let her mom and dad in on it the morning that everyone was set to start arriving. I promise you this had a happy ending. Even though everyone was content to skip the holiday while they grieved, they found healing and they found strength as they gathered together as a family, just like Nana would have wanted them to do. The story was all over the local news, and it reminds us that there is strength in community. There is power and encouragement, hope and strength in together. And it's the blessing of relationships. The relationship we have with one another. An even greater blessing in the relationships that you can have, you can have with Jesus Christ. The center and focus of the Christmas season. His birth still has power to comfort the hurting. To encourage the downtrodden and to heal the broken. Would you stand with me? I'm not going to give an invitation today. I just want to remind you, whatever you may be going through this holiday, whatever challenges, whatever complications, God's got this. I promise you, God's got this. And you're not alone. Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us today of the power of relationships. For reminding us of this very precious relationship that existed between Mary and Elizabeth. Two women facing so much, but doing it together. And looking to you, the author and finisher of their faith. And both women got through it. And both women raised strong godly men. Thank you for reminding us today what's possible when we cling to one another and when we cling to you. Father, I'm praying today if there's one person in this room, one person who's watching our live stream, who doesn't have a relationship with Christ, God, I pray today that they would give their heart and their life and surrender to you. Lord, for those who are struggling, for those who are hurting, for those who find that this just is not a season of joy for them, Lord, would you draw near to them? Would you speak peace to their storm? Would you bring hope anew to their lives? Would you shine light into their darkness and remind them today that whatever they're facing, you've got this, and that they're not alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. Has this been a great place to be or what? Come on, give Him praise. Hey, this is a wonderful time of year, but for many, many, it's a difficult season. So, listen, you could change somebody's life this Christmas with a simple invitation to sit with you next week in church. So please, come back, worship with us, and bring a friend, okay? And now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Make it a great week, church. Go scatter darkness, break chains of despair, move some mountains.